Let's kick off another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast, where Brendan Bussman and Brent Iden march down the field on key political, legislative, and regulatory developments in the gaming sector. As these titans square off on the issues facing the industry, this podcast highlights the current opportunities and challenges for expansion and reform. Let's see what the game plan is for this episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to another World Series of Politics podcast. I'm Brant Iden, along with my fellow Caped Crusader, Brendan Bussman, coming to us live from the mothership in Vegas. Good morning out there, Brendan. How are you?
It is a good morning. It is not quite afternoon, my fellow Caped Crusader. You know, it's one of these I didn't intend to be recording this from the mothership, but as you well know, sometimes travel delays get in your way and you can't always get where you need to get when you need to get there. And rather be stuck in parts unknown, I postponed a trip. So, you know, it's great to always see you and great to be back on the podcast.
Here we go. And we are, man, we have so much going on. But I got to say something. You know, we haven't recorded since Super Bowl. And I was out there, had a great time. We caught up with friends. But, you know, I'll tell you this, Brendan. I placed a few wagers. Surprise, surprise. I used the mobile app. And it doesn't really matter whose mobile app I used, but I did use a mobile app. I also place wagers in person. The mobile app is horrendous. The registration process in person, I couldn't get my money out. I had to wait 2 hours. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, when is Nevada going to fix that mobile piece out there on the sports menu?
Brant, there's this phrase. It's called "What happens here stays here." So the money had to stay here for your next visit. No, in all seriousness, it is something Nevada has to get fixed. You know, it's something that I guarantee you were not the only person that had those problems as it related to the Super Bowl. Same thing happened with F1, that people came in and said, hey, let me go do this, and then they couldn't do it. So, you know, if we want to have Nevada continue to remain at the gold standard, as is said, you know, we have to modernize these things and get much more with the times, because mobile works, it's efficient, it's effective, and it's what most of the United States and most of the rest of the world is doing today.
Yeah, it's so funny you mentioned that, because, you know, as you and I travel around the country, and recently I was testifying in Maryland, and we're going to get to Maryland, we're going to talk about all the states, but a question was posed by a legislator, which is a fair question, which is, well, how come Nevada doesn't do mobile? And my answer was, because they're terrible at it. I go, it's just awful. It's an awful experience. So they shouldn't do it until they can get it better. I don't want this product. It's miserable. The whole experience was awful.
In fairness to my state, when I say that, you are right that it is not a good and it's a cumbersome experience. And it's one that I think continually needs to be improved. But that said, obviously a lot of the operators here have figured out how to do it elsewhere, but there's a reason why it's taken so long to get things like a shared wallet and other things here, because it's cost prohibitive for these operators to come in and figure out a way to do it for one state and get it to work, because it's just that, a challenge. And, you know, it's a fair question they asked last week in Maryland, but it's one that constantly needs to be reevaluated. But there's a way to do it, and hopefully Nevada gets to that point here in the near future.
There we go. Well, all right. Well, now that I've got that off my chest, you know, my gripe is done. Well, there you go. There you go. We'll jump right in. We've got a lot of states to cover. We are in the thick of the legislative season, and so there is a tremendous amount of activity going on. And as we noted when we started the podcast, there's been a little bit of a lull since we've had one of these shows, and I think that's just because Brendan and I have been on the road so much with all these state activity, sports betting and iGaming. It's great to see, but this is the season that we're in, and we're going to jump right in with the Pinot bet and Brendan's Pinot bet, which is the state of Minnesota, which he believes will be the first to pass legislation this year. Brendan, what's going on in Minnesota?
You know, Minnesota, we're at it. I think this is the third year we're at it at this point. You know, the challenge continues to remain in that great state is you've got other stakeholders that want to figure out a piece of the pie. And the latest and greatest still is the tracks. This time they're going for more than they went last time because unfortunately they can't find a revenue model that works, to keep doing what they're doing. And that's after, you know, years of them trying off of it. To be able to do it. I still hold true that by the time we get to the end of session, Minnesota will have made it over the hump. Will it be first? You and I can debate that as we discuss another jurisdiction. As you described, the one that every time you talk to somebody, you feel like you need to go take a bath or a shower. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm still bullish on Minnesota. I mean, I will tell you the Senate hearings kick off this week on the legislation. So by the time this podcast is released, we will have those initial hearings. Minnesota has a very onerous committee process where every bill goes through, you know, four or five. Yeah, that's true. Goes through a four or five committee process where each committee talks about a specific jurisdiction that they have over the bill. I don't know. I've seen it work. Sometimes I just think that they talk about whatever they want to talk about on the bill, but supposedly that's the way this works. I think we're going to see a lot of amendments. I think that are probably, there's going to be some amendments that are not going to be industry favorable, and we'll see how that shakes out in the end. I mean, at the end of the day, this is something that the tribes have been pushing for. This is something that the tribes want, and if the legislature comes up with a bill that the tribes just can't get behind, I don't know where this thing's going to go. I remain optimistic. And the big question is, you know, the bill's been introduced with a 10% tax rate. Brendan, does it stay at 10% or does it go up?
You know, unfortunately in today's, hopefully they don't listen to Pritzker down in Illinois, who just arbitrarily adds a 200 and some odd percent increase. I hope it stays at 10. It's where it should be. Minnesota, when it comes to gaming, and I don't like to use the term tax when it comes to other casino gaming related things in the state, but, you know, the thing I will continually say is Minnesota is one of those states, you know, and I remember a legislator, you and I talked about this earlier this year, that, you know, a legislature was upset that the tribes hadn't come to terms and come up with a settlement. I'm like, you have all 11 tribes on the same page. They're the stakeholders of gaming in the state of Minnesota. I'm not sure what other compromise you needed to come up with. So this is one of those that, yes, will go through at least five committees when all is said and done. But I still think it gets there, you know. So we'll see what happens. But if it doesn't, we're probably going to push off another year, and we'll have to see how the election rolls out.
All right, let's go. Georgia. I like Georgia. Obviously, we've come through crossover now. We've got a bill out of the Senate that's over in the House. It's now a constitutional amendment. So this would go before the voters in November. Authorizing sports betting. Brendan, what do you think? Does it have a chance? Can it get to the voters? Do the voters pass it?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple things as it relates to Georgia. You know, first and foremost, I know you and I have debated this for some time of whether or not there actually needs to be a CA off of this. I still argue after years of trying to do this that there needs to be a CA just to make it belt and suspenders on everything. Otherwise, it opens it up for challenges. I'm hoping the House can get there based off the Senate version. I'm hoping we can get there off of it. I only see sports betting going. I do not see the casino side of this at this point happening. And I say that saying I've tried to legalize casinos down there since a very long time when I started when I was two. Along the way, but you know, it's happy that we got through crossover, and I think there's opportunity. When it goes before the ballot, this is the ballot I'd want to be on in Georgia. You know, you've only got a presidential race and a very highly charged race this year. You don't have to worry about other statewide races that can make that a much more expensive race and much more convoluted to get the message out. But you know, I think Georgia stands as a good chance.
Yeah, I like it. I'm with you. I mean, I remain optimistic. Obviously, two-thirds vote required. Two-thirds was achieved in the Senate. Need 120 votes in the House. That's a big lift. I will say that it's going to take a strong bipartisan majorities to get this done, which is what we always see in gaming. It can get done. 120 is a lot, but about 4 weeks left in the legislative session. We'll continue to monitor it. Let's jump to D.C. We talked a little bit about it earlier. Obviously, that's where the peanut wager is. I think that DC is going to be the first to do something this year. We will see what happens. It's always difficult. The council is debating whether or not to put up a competitive mobile bill, and I think that that a majority of the council is fed up. They've had enough. Lottery isn't working. I mean, what is going on with lottery? It makes no sense whatsoever. The Intralot deal makes no sense. And I just think that at the end of the day, they have to go competitive, because otherwise it's going to look like another backroom deal where the council just brings in another subcontractor. And the same thing. It's DC politics as usual.
Well, you know, I've been on the soapbox on DC for a long time, because as you mentioned, that Intralot deal was a backroom deal that started off with a BS study that just so happened to be from the client's vendor that said, hey, give it all to me. We'll take care of it. We'll be speed to market, whatever else. They weren't speed to market. They failed in every aspect. I will say that the council is fed up, but I also appreciate their patience in some of that, because had I been a DC councilman or woman, I wouldn't be the woman, but I'd be the man off of that, I would have been completely, completely frustrated and probably would have tried to fire the lottery on the spot. Because them shopping the process and basically saying, hey, we're going to give another no-bid opportunity here, it gave zero credibility to what the lottery's doing there. And you're absolutely right. It has to be a competitive process. It has to allow an open, transparent market. It's what you have in Maryland. It's what you have in Virginia. And that's what should be the case today.
You got it. You got it. We'll see what happens. The Pinot wager is on as it relates to Minnesota and D.C. Moving on, Alabama. Let's talk about Bama. Roll Tide. What's going
Roll
on
Tide.
Down south?
Roll Tide, Alabama Pride. We're in extra innings, if you want to call it, as it relates to that. The Senate currently, and we'll see what happens this week, because by the time this comes out, the Senate will likely have met. The House had a version, which always has been the challenge of getting something through the House. That House bill arguably probably isn't workable for a lot of reasons. But I think there's enough discussions to get something to the voters to approve that includes lottery, that it includes a compact for the Porch Creek Band of Indians, and maybe a few other things in there as it relates to the tracks and other things. And I think the voters of Alabama will approve it. But I will say this, if they've got to get that CA right, because you're going to have one bite at the apple, or it's going to be another 10 years before we have this conversation again.
That's fair. I will say this. Before we started off session, it seemed like there was a compromise in place between the executive branch, the House and the Senate on this. There were compromises worked out. There was work groups put together. The bill wasn't released to the industry until basically the day it was filed intentionally. They kept this close to the vest, which made sense. You know, House moved it through. Gets caught up in the Senate due to the change in the ball game, and now we're sort of back to square one with another work group. They're looking at it again. What gets included? Is it the tracks? Is it sports wagering mobile? Is it just lottery? And it bounces around. I feel like this thing changes hourly down in Alabama. I think Senate probably changes the bill, probably goes to conference committee, and then let's hope they can get it back and get it, you know, with time left, again, to get the two-thirds majority to get on the ballot. Do you think it goes in November, or do you think they end up doing a special election?
If they pass it, I'd want to be on that November ballot. I would not want a special election. Special elections are a death to ballot initiatives off of that. Get it on the main ballot and call it a day. But you got to get it right. If you can't get it
there
right, punt it until next time. I don't know. I don't know how else you do it. So,
Mississippi.
Mississippi's the next one I was just going to bring up. What do you think about mobile down there?
I like it. I like it. In fact, I like it so much that I can't believe I picked D.C. over Mississippi. I would move it to the top of the list. I like how it looks right now. Obviously, they have retail. They're looking at mobile. I think there's a compromise in place with a retail casino piece of legislation that's now making its way through the legislature. This goes to number one for me this year.
So are you trying to wager or change your wager off of this? Because – you know that.
No, but I'll place another one with you.
we would have to do maybe we do a Southern bet. We'll talk about that later between Bama and Mississippi. So no, I would agree with you off of that. You know, I think it's one of those that Mississippi, you know, one of the first to market movers when it came to sports betting, finally is figuring out that mobile needs to be a part of that offering. Obviously, they see what happens in the neighboring state of Louisiana and the revenue that can come with it. And obviously, I think you get a compromise, you know. But speaking of other, I'll call it SEC states, some people do and don't refer to Missouri as a southern state. What's going on down there with our good friends in the Senate and the ballot measure?
Boy, I'll tell you what, if you like you know, with those dramatic TV shows like Real Housewives of, you know, New Jersey or whatever,
those aren't shows I watch.
Well, just turn on – all you have to do – if you're into that – no, if anyone is into that, any listeners into any of that, just turn on a daily session and watch what goes on between the House and the Senate in Missouri. I mean, talk about an absolute bloodbath. You've got a speaker that doesn't like part of the caucus. You've got a caucus that doesn't like the speaker. You've got the Senate that doesn't like the House. I mean, this is real life, and it's free. You can get this on C-SPAN or whatever, public television. You don't even have to pay for this. This is better than Real Housewives of Biloxi or whatever, you know?
No, that's fair.
It's chaos.
It is chaos. And I'm not sure anything gets done in the state of Missouri this year, which is why, you know, I think they continue to plug along on the ballot measure with gathering signatures. You know, from every indication, I think they'll have enough to get it there. And then it's on to the voters in November. You know, we'll see how that works, and we'll see what happens over that. And specifically, you know, we'll have a little bit of a test to see how sports does on the ballot when the Chiefs and Royals are on the ballot in April as it relates to their funding. It'll be interesting to see how that plays in an election year in November, assuming they get the signatures.
You know, that's a good point that you make. You know, it's not only sports betting. I'm surprised they can do anything in Missouri at the way the legislature just hates each other. I mean, it's crazy to watch that. They can't do anything. You're right. Look, it's going to be difficult. You're right. The signatures are progressing nicely. I think I saw a report that they're about at 100,000. They need 180,000 plus to get on the ballot. The teams are aligned with a few of the online operators on this. It looks like it's moving in that direction. I think the public wants this. And then, you know, it'll all be up to that ballot. We could see a very exciting ballot season come November across the country as it relates to sports betting if all these states go.
If you get Georgia, if you get Alabama, if you get Missouri, if you get Maryland, which I know we're going to talk about still, at a minimum, and then if Virginia, you know, also has the casino on down there in Petersburg, it could be a very robust election cycle. And who knows? Maybe there's a few others.
So let's talk about you mentioned iGaming or Maryland. Let's talk iGaming. Let's hit New York first. What's going on? I got a New York state of mind. What are you thinking?
You might have a New York state of mind, but that's about the only thing because I think the bill's dead, which is unfortunate because they still need revenue. You know, speaking of revenue, there's a downstate process they could move that has at least $1.5 billion in their coffers, but that's probably a 2025 money grab at that point. But you know, when you have the unions that have this perceived notion that they're going to lose jobs, even though they've got a payout in that bill, you know, it's hard to get that moving. And you've got a Democrat governor that doesn't want to challenge some of her constituents on it. So you know, I don't know what else to say. What else is there to say about New York?
Well, you're right. I'll tell you, disappointing news. Obviously, Senator Addabbo working this bill so hard, very aggressive on it. Obviously, the hotel unions came out staunchly opposed. They're now, you know, taking some aggressive political shots at the senator, who's always been a supporter of theirs politically. Love to see a compromise. Compromise here, certainly not going to happen in 2024, but maybe the education process and negotiations can continue. And look, we'd love to see something in 2025. New York's going to need the money. There's no doubt about it. They're going to be looking for revenue. They're going to need cash.
That is one of many states that continually needs cash, because God knows, I don't know how they spend it all, but they do. So, you know. Speaking of another state that may need some cash, Maryland recently figured out they may be a little short on cash as well.
Look, I think Maryland is progressing nicely in terms of iGaming. We're still alive in the game from an industry perspective. A couple of champions in the House and in the Senate, which is great, that are coordinating efforts. You're right, Maryland needs the money. And I think that this is a pathway for them. I think that there are some nuances of the bills that still need to be worked out. And I say bills because I think it's both sides, whether it relates to tax rate, market access. You know, these are some very, you know, sort of in the weeds conversations that are happening. But I like that. When in the weeds conversations start to happen, it becomes a matter of just how this is going to work and not if. And I'm hopeful that, you know, the legislature is sort of taking the stance, look, this is coming, we just need to get it right. What do you think?
You know, I will say this in listening to most of the hearings, both in the House and the Senate, which were definitely a tale of two hearings, because they treated it both
7.5 hours in the House. I was there the whole time. Crazy.
I know you were. Well, the other thing I thought that was crazy was in the Senate, you had somebody that testified as a proponent but bagged on the bill the whole time. Which I'm like, I've been in hearings where normally members of that respective House, whether it be the House or Senate, sort of call out testifiers, but I think they'd spend enough time there in the room that they wanted to just get through testimony so they could move on to debate. You know, I think this heads to the voters. It's about getting it right, though. You know, unfortunately, they didn't necessarily have all the tools out of the gate to get it right. But I think that the information they're being provided now about the lack of cannibalization, the revenue opportunity, you know, the tax structure, even though I still think it's too high, but we all know that, bodes for a better bill. We'll see if we can get there and see if the voters, as we talked about earlier, can get this done.
You're right. You're right. I love the optimism there. We've covered a lot. We know I'm looking at the clock. I know we've run over on this episode, so I think we're going to cut it off there. We've got a lot to cover as it relates to more states in the future. There's always more to cover. When you are in the throes of legislative sessions, it seems like something is happening weekly. So questions, comments, concerns, conundrums, send them in. We're always curious to hear what our listeners are thinking about. Appreciate it. As always, Brendan, great catching up. We will see you on down the road, my friend.
Sounds great. Thank you for another great episode, my fellow Cape Crusader. And thank you all for listening to another podcast on the World Series of Politics.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brant Iden. We'll be back soon for the next coin flip. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to igamingbusiness.com.